But it's also NHL season, gentlemen. And first off, congrats to you, Rory. You're going to be part of a new show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's going to be Hockey Central Saturdays. You're going to be on from 10 till 2 on Saturday nights going around the NHL. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We're going to be following all the games that are going on for those hours late into the evening. That last hour is going to be a recap of the night. Just jumping around to all the games, going to some play-by-play at key moments, interviewing some reporters on scene and just, you know, live action following what's going on in the night. It's going to be a ton of fun to do all this, and I'm really looking forward to starting it next Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You and Nick Alberga kicking things off next Saturday from 10 to 2, and then before that, Jeff Merrick and John Shannon from 5 to 10. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but let's get into the NHL, guys. And since we are here in Toronto, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs are front and center. Another big preseason win last night. They take down the Red Wings 4-2. Austin Matthews getting another goal. William Nylander in the mix as well. Mitch Marner finally getting his first of the preseason. But expectations pretty high here in the city and with this Maple Leafs team. And understandably so, guys. I mean, they obviously had an incredible season last year, just sneaking into the playoffs, but definitely exceeding expectations. This year, it seems like the bar has been set even higher by fans and those from the outside watching. But it seems like the players are pretty set on just making the playoffs and see where it goes from there. But we'll start with you, Mikey. I mean, what are your expectations for this young Maple Leafs team now that we're, I guess, in year two with the Austin Matthews era?
Well, okay, here's what happens with every year we see it with rookies. Their sophomore slumps can be a real thing, and it'll be very interesting to see how the Leafs youngsters that exceeded expectations as rookies, I wonder how they're going to do. And as a whole, you know, I really don't know that the expectations should be any higher than they were towards the end of last season. Like, to me, this Leafs team, and you kind of can hear from how Mike Babcock has been describing things in the preseason, he knows that there's, you know, a lot of work to do, as he says. They're a step behind a team like the Edmonton Oilers in terms of their development. They're still very young. And now opposing teams kind of know what to expect. If there was an excuse that certain teams, you know, they didn't know how good the Leafs were until they actually played them, well, they all know now. Mm-hmm. They all know what they're capable of. They all know that this is a core that can make the playoffs. But there's some teams within the Atlantic, within the East, that are going to be back in the playoff picture, and that, you know, the Leafs are not only going to have to do as well as they did last year, but they're going to have to be better than a lot of the teams they weren't as good as last year. You know, it's going to be really tough. I think there's no reason to think that they won't be in the playoff race, certainly late into the season and approaching the trade deadline. I would expect them to be in a playoff position, but it's not a lock. It's not like they're a cup contender this year.
See, I'm on the opposite end of that. I'm pretty high on this team heading into the season. I've been on record saying I think they're going to be one of the top, you know, 3-4 teams in the Eastern Conference this year. That's how excited I am about this squad. And I think a lot of it has to do, you know, you talk about how, you know, people are going to be prepared for this team this year. Well, if you're going to try to shut down Austin Matthews and William Nylander, you know, go for it, because there's still going to be the Nazem Kadri line. There's still going to be the Mitch Marner line. I mean, the depth up front is just so terrifying that I don't think you can shut down this Leafs team on a night-to-night basis. What do you think, Rory?
Yeah, they have a range of where they could finish, right?
Like, totally,
I could totally see where you're coming from, that they finish third or fourth in the Eastern Conference. They might be even in the running to win their division, depending on how well Tampa does. They're definitely a bounce back team to watch, but they are also a team that could just kind of hang in and get into one of those wild cards or just miss, because remember, they were so healthy last year, and that's something that maybe catches up to them this year. How many years can a team go consecutively being as healthy as the Leafs were last year? And if something were to ever happen to Freddie Anderson, they're in a lot of trouble then, because I don't think anybody really trusts Curtis McElhinney to take this team very far. But it is reasonable. I'm not saying that they're a top contender necessarily or anything, but it is reasonable to say that a window here is starting to open for this team. While Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and these youngest, the youngest guys, are still on those entry-level deals where they have the wiggle room under the cap to go and spend $6.25 million on Patrick Marleau, to bring him in, play the wing. He's not like your average 38-year-old, because he's still very, very fast. He is a very healthy guy and has been throughout his career. And he's just very responsible two-way, knows Mike Babcock very well from Team Canada. there's going to be a time soon where they're going to have to pay those young players, and all of a sudden you have a little less wiggle room to build around them. So there is a window here where if everything goes right and they are able to maintain their health through the whole season and you get another 40-goal season or close to it from Matthews, Marner takes another step, Nylander, like you said, they have some terrific depth up front, and maybe there's some surprises coming on the defense. I mean, Morgan Riley, what we saw out of him at the World Cup last year is like, oh, this guy maybe has arrived, and then he didn't get out of the gate so well. There's been a lot of great reviews of Jake Gardner, and if he can take on a top, you know, top pair role or something like that, there might be some surprises on the blue line. So be as optimistic about this team as you want. There is a ton to like here, but there is some cause for a little bit of concern, a little bit of caution anyway.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, on the back end, like you mentioned, is probably, you know, the chief concern, whether it's the goaltending with the backup goaltending with Curtis McElhinney or Garrett Sparks. Obviously, it looks like McElhinney is going to be the guy right now. But, you know, Ron Hainsey was an okay addition, I guess. And then if those guys get hurt, whether it's Morgan Riley or Jake Gardner, Mike, I mean, after that, you know, Connor Carrick's got to step up. And, you know, right now that battle for that sixth spot on the defense right now with guys like Martin Marincin and Callie Rose and Andreas Borgman. I mean, a lot of unproven guys, and Travis Dermott as well, who played with the Marlies last year. I mean, if anybody of, you know, major, that plays a major role on the defensive side gets hurt, I mean, the Maple Leafs are going to be in big trouble.
That's true. You look at their blue line, they're not super deep. It's not like they're the Nashville Predators or anything like that, you know. And there are still questions about guy like Jake Gardner. Like, he does still make mistakes on the ice. He'll cough up the puck at the most inopportune times. Mm-hmm. And you look at all his analytics of the advanced metrics, and he's pretty good, and he's a you know, popular in that regard, but just the eyeball test, that he often can flub a puck, or just it's almost like there's bad luck surrounded by him. Like, the puck will just hop over his stick at the mm-hmm. wrong time. And on the flip side of that, he's one of the few defensemen out there with his skating ability that can kind of take over a game single-handedly. You know, we saw that early in his Leafs career when they made the playoffs back in the Kessel and Grabowski days that one year. You know, Jake Gardner could take over a game, and he still has that ability. Rory, you mentioned Frederik Andersen. I think that's last year, all Austin Matthews and all the rookies, they got the shine. To me, the MVP of the Leafs was Frederik Andersen. They don't make the playoffs without Frederik Andersen. Mm-hmm. He got off to a really slow, rough start. But once he, you know, found his groove and started playing his best hockey, he was the MVP of the team, in my opinion. So if anything goes down, if I was a Leafs fan, I certainly wouldn't have confidence in the backups going forward. And with a still young, yet to be proven blue line in front of a goalie, you know, that's not an all-star, there's big question marks. And even going forward, it'll be, to me, it'll be very interesting to see what they do and how they do in the first half of the season, because a lot of their key players are going to be unrestricted free agents in the offseason. So, like, what do you do with JVR and Bozak and Leo Komarov and guys like that? Are they part of the long-term plan? Or maybe if the Leafs stumble, maybe if there is a widespread sophomore slump on this roster, then you're going to have to make some difficult decisions about what to do with these pending UFAs. So there's a lot to digest with this Leafs team.
Well, I think in regards to Frederik Andersen, I mean, I think the one benefit this year is, you know, we go back to a season ago and he came into training camp hurt, and it took him a while to get going, like you mentioned, and that was part of the reason for the slow start. And, you know, people were really questioning Frederik Andersen, the deal. Was it worth it? I mean, this guy doesn't look like a number one at the moment, but then eventually he found his groove, and then the whole team did. I mean, they went on that massive tear from about December on to get into the playoffs. So I think that'll be great for this team at the beginning of the year to have a healthy Frederik Andersen. Austin Matthews obviously is front and center with this Maple Leafs team in the preseason. We're talking about sophomore slump. Hasn't looked like that's going to be the case for Austin Matthews so far, Rory. I mean, heading into season number two, what are your expectations for this guy? Because it's funny, after the season he had last year, I mean, you can make the argument that he's a top 10 player in this league just based on what he did last year, which is kind of insane to say about a rookie. You know, we see the ascension that Connor McDavid has, but he's obviously a generational talent as well. What is the ceiling for Austin Matthews? Because I'm having trouble figuring out what is next for this guy.
What is his ceiling? Yeah. I mean, when you start off with 40 goals, I mean, how high do you go? I don't know if he's a 50-goal scorer or not. I mean, what's interesting is if the NHL continues calling the slashing, the obstruction that they've been doing in the preseason and maintain that standard into the regular season, we're going to see more power plays and we're going to see more goals, obviously. And that opens up the possibility that Matthews, because he's going to be used on the power play more often, will be able to surpass 40 goals. But some of us are expecting maybe that standard on slashing doesn't really stay up and we go back to what we were at last year.
Right.
In which case, I don't think it's fair to expect 40 goals from Austin Matthews again, but I think he's at least a 30-goal scorer. I mean, the guy is terrific at both ends of the ice. And how many times do we see him, you know, get a shot on net or set up his teammate who gets a shot on net, and he just kind of circles around and finds the open spot, and boom, the puck finds him. Like, he always seems to know where the puck is, and that's what some truly great players always seem to be able to do, create chances for themselves, create chances for their teammates, and be able to find and know where the puck is going to go and just have that little bit of luck, have that hockey sense, whatever it is. He is the, as we know, he is the number one center this team has been craving since Matt Sundin left town. And he, you know, coming into the league last year, we didn't really know what to expect from him, right? He took an unconventional route to the NHL, going to play in Switzerland, where he was great, but how does that translate into the NHL? And then he has this amazing season, wins the Calder. What is the next step for this guy? I mean, it's really hard to say. I think last year was, if you get that season from Austin Matthews again, you are extremely happy. And I think his offense might tail off just a little bit, not too much, because like Mike said, Mike alluded to, the league is going to be more prepared for him this year. But even when you're prepared for a big, intelligent, very skilled center like Austin Matthews, I mean, there's only so much you can do to slow the guy down.